Well, good morning. It's good to be with you today. You're free to grab a seat if you've not done so yet. My name is Kurt. I serve as lead pastor here at Vineyard. And I just want to communicate what I'm experiencing this morning that matters. It matters to be in a room with other people, becoming more aware of a God who wants to be present with us. So, welcome. I hope that you're experiencing the presence of God in a tangible way. I hope that as we have just sung, you hear the hope of Jesus in a personal way. And I hope as we open up the scriptures together today, you will be challenged. I pray you're comforted. And if I'm honest, the hope in my heart is that we would not just rinse and repeat a rhythm of coming to church and feeling like it doesn't actually touch our lives. My hope for us as a community is that our lives would be changed for your good and, man, for the good of people around you, because they need it. If not for you, they need it, right? You know those people? As we chuckle, just remember you're one of those people in somebody else's life, okay? Am I telling the truth this morning? Well, it is so good to be with you. I just want to give you two invitations that are just practical. One is we want to be connected with you, and you can use the QR code on the seat back near you. You can always go to our website. Every event we have going on is on our website, and all of those things are actually dropped in a single spot, which is an app. How many of you have an app on your phone? At least one. We would love to be number two, all right? Number two, you can get access to pretty much everything. And most importantly, in a new year, you can update your information. We want to know how to reach towards you to share the hope of things that are going on, to share the good news of Jesus. And we have an app for that. It's called the Church Center app. Right there, look at that. Well-timed graphic and everything. Our team is on it. It is free. You scan this, you search for Vineyard Church Pearland, and then it just gives you a single spot for everything you would need. We want to try to make it easy for you, and most importantly, it's helpful to us. One of the examples of what it helps you get connected to is we have Baptism Sunday coming up in a couple weeks. I know, right? Somebody's like, yeah, Baptism Sunday. I will tell you this. You can sign up. If you've never been baptized, here's what's really cool. Jesus' call to his community is this: therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. When I came to faith in Jesus, the first movement is to immerse my life in the life of God, the forgiveness of God, the hope of God. And a meaningful milestone on our faith journey is a baptism experience. And so if you've never been baptized and you are finding life in Jesus, I think that is the first call of obedience, is to say, I will be baptized in your name. My identity is found in you and you alone. And so you can sign up. It is at the end of January. We would love to celebrate that with you. You can use the app. You can use the website to sign up. And we would love to just celebrate what God is doing in your life, because it's our desire here at the Vineyard to make more and better disciples, to be a people who are captured by Jesus in a way that matters for our life and for the lives of people around us. So, yay 2026. Right? We're here. As we move forward in the conversation today, I want you to know we're going to be opening the Bible. And from here until Easter Sunday, we are going to be in one of the books that takes account of Jesus' life, and it's the book of Luke. And so if you have never been given a Bible, we want to give you one before you leave today. They're on the back by the sound booth. It is free. It is yours. You can take it. But you might love an app. And you might want a third app on your phone, and that app could be the YouVersion Bible app, and they will help you read the Bible day in and day out. I have, actually on my lock screen, the verse of the day loads so that I can see it first time I look at my phone. There are high school guys I'm connected to that are reading the verse of the day every day. Be like those high school guys. Read the Bible every day. It's accessible. There are really good reading plans. The Bible Recap, I've heard amazing things about if you're trying to understand the scriptures. Bible Project has this reading plan this year, one story that leads to Jesus. check it out. It's good for you. But I just want you to know here at the Vineyard, we are going to be in the Scriptures week in, week out, looking to Jesus. And today we're in Luke 4. And before I get there, I just want to give you an opener on like my process for how we got where we're going today. The first title I had for today's message was Offensive Faith, Joining Jesus on Offense. And I just couldn't get comfortable with it. Because here's the thing. You might not know this about me, but I used to play basketball. I used to be a basketball player. And I say used to because I don't play enough basketball now to actually have action in my life that gives me the identity as a basketball player any longer. But it was quite an illustrious career, if I do say so myself. You know those glory days in high school? It's a pretty big deal. Standout point guard in the great state of Texas. I was defensive player of the year in my district. I was recruited to play Division I hoops for Texas San Antonio Roadrunners. I was freshman of the year. It just peaked, and then it just was, you know. But I made it through. 4 years at UTSA. Was career all-time top five in assists and steals. Assists help you score points. Steals help you get the ball back so you can score more points. Blah, blah, blah. Go sports. I'll never forget the coaching approach that said this, defense wins championships, right? We're hoping that's true for the Houston Texans. And I really believed in that. I was committed to defense. I played a lot of defense. I played it well. It's really disruptive to the other team when you have a good defensive strategy. It makes it hard for them to score points. But I'm going to let you in on a secret as it relates to sports and games and competition. It's not the team who plays the best defense that wins. The team that scores the most points always wins. Always. The team that scores the most points always wins. So apparently, offense wins championships. Insert another coaching quip. The best defense is good offense. So Kurt, thank you for reminding us of your glory days. We get it. Remember, go sports. Some of you right now are like enthralled in football, and every football team has an offensive coordinator and a defensive coordinator. But here's what I was thinking about. Every sports team has and understands the mission every season. They know the mission. If they play defense, they are locked in. If they play offense, they're locked in. If you play the best sport that's ever created, basketball, you have to play both. So is our faith supposed to be offensive or defensive? What do we see in Jesus? And really, here's where it broke down for me, because, you know, I'm imperfect, and the way my mind thought through this was like the moment I said offensive faith, I couldn't help but just say offensive faith, that your faith is offensive to me. That right now there's a lot of challenge in the church and in the world where faith has become offensive to people. And I thought, oh, it breaks down. Because of being offensive in our day and time is actually more about being hurt, being upset, telling me I'm wrong or disagreeable. We get offended. That was offensive to me, and not in a good way. But similarly, being defensive isn't viewed any better when it comes to relationships. Actually, if you're defensive regularly in a meaningful relationship, it is a silent killer of connection in your relationship. So, like, we can't have, like, defensive faith because we're trying to protect something. And we can't be offensive because then we're just wounding people. So how does this even work? And now you can see why I changed the title of this morning's talk. Being defensive means I'm closed off, I'm self-protective, I'm usually fearful or prideful, I'm locked in an independent, isolated way. And if I'm being offensive to you, it's like I don't really regard you, I don't care for you. So what do we do? I think we have to understand the life of Jesus, and this is how I came to the title of today's talk, which is on the screen in front of you, Intentional Faith. If we do not live a faith that is intentional, then we are missing the point of following Jesus. And we're going to see in Luke 4 the life of Jesus being very intentional. And my prayer for you and I today is that something about us would change and get activated as we move into Monday. What we see in Jesus is his prayers were offensive to Satan, offensive to sickness, offensive to demons, offensive to darkness. His presence was defensive to the poor, the spiritually oppressed, the sick, and the searching. Jesus embodied and fulfilled the redemptive reality of God. His life was fulfilling the law to love God perfectly and to love people. So somehow, anything offensive or defensive was not condemning but confronting and calling us to depend on God. Be obedient to God's authority, to humble ourselves and follow him. And so this is what I want you to know as we move into the text. In my human nature, if I'm being offensive to somebody, I need to check and ask, am I being humble and surrendered to God? If I'm being defensive in a moment, I have to ask myself, am I being humble and surrendered to God? Because to be a disciple of Jesus means you depend on God, humility, and you obey God, humility. And then we can live in freedom. And then we live in freedom. And we're going to see that in the life of Jesus. And so if you would open a Bible to Luke 4, you can use the YouVersion Bible app. You can grab the free one in the back. It will be on the screen. I just want us to see that Jesus came knowing things were not right, but he came to make them right. In the text today, you're going to see people be in awe of Jesus and then quickly feel offended by Jesus because he confronts everything in me that needs to be dismantled and dealt with. My pride will be offended, and yours might be today too. Your pride might become defensive. Jesus, don't tell me what to do. You don't know me. Actually, he does. But most importantly, the thing that we're going to start with in Jesus is he understands there's a real enemy and an opposition. See, Jesus understands that Satan is real. There is spiritual opposition and spiritual oppression that he does not want for us. And so he steps into the story and he shows us a way to live, that we can be a people of intentional faith just like him. And so, God, we are aware of you here today. And I do pray that as we open the scriptures, you would, by your Spirit, lead us into truth. You would help us. Show us what it looks like to live the way you live. Show us what it looks like to have a faith in this new year that is very intentional. That we would depend on you and we would obey you in all things. In Jesus' name, amen. So we're encouraging you to read the Gospel of Luke along with this series. And so this week, spend time in Luke 4. Read it. Because I'm not going to preach all of Luke 4. It's too big, it's too good, and there's too much there. And we've got football playoff games to go catch maybe, or at least lunch. And I would just imagine Jesus would probably be hanging out with you watching the game if you're watching the game. So don't feel any particular way about it. Just enjoy it. But in Luke 4, as Pastor Joseph preached last week, we see Jesus is prepped, ready, and willing. He's prepped, ready, and willing because he comes for us. Here's what you need to know about Jesus. Jesus reveals God, and God does this. He comes for you. He comes for you. He does not wait for you to have some enlightenment moment, some thing where it's all on you and your faith is built on you. He initiates, and he comes. And he comes to where we need him. And so check this out. This is how Luke 4 opens. This is verses 1 and 2. Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, left the Jordan, the place of his baptism in Luke 3, and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, where for 40 days he was tempted by the devil. He ate nothing during those days, and at the end of them he was hungry. It goes on to say this after a time of being tempted by the devil, there's this interesting encounter where you can see Jesus knows Scripture. Turns out the devil knows Scripture. And there's this interplay of, will Jesus be dependent on the Spirit and yielded to God, or will he grab hold of another authority source? Will he be tempted into the offer of the accuser and the enemy? Verse 14, Jesus returned to Galilee in the power of the Spirit, and news about him spread through the whole countryside. He was teaching in their synagogues, and everyone praised him. He opens up the scroll of Isaiah, and it says this, "The Spirit of the Lord is on me because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to set the oppressed free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." Intention. Everything in the movement and the life of Jesus from Luke 4 forward is intentional faith. It's knowing purpose. It's knowing identity. It is knowing who he has come for, what he is up to, and it is to proclaim good news. And if you are a follower of Jesus, guess what? The call is the same for us. To follow Jesus into the intentional faith he lives with, full of the Spirit, led by the Spirit, in the power of the Spirit, to proclaim good news. So if you're looking into what 2026 should be about, just know it should be about proclaiming good news. Do you think the world could use it? Let me tell you something. A little inside trick, if you ever have to preach in front of a room of people, you better preach to yourself before you ever preach to others. Proclaim good news to your soul before you begin to venture into proclaiming good news to others. And I will tell you, Jesus sat in the wilderness with the Spirit and had to wrestle with the good news when he's being confronted by the enemy, when he's being confronted by opposition, when he's being tempted and tried by evil. I imagine he was proclaiming the good news of the Father to his soul for 40 days and 40 nights. And when he didn't have the strength to do it, I know the Holy Spirit was. And Jesus was prepped, he was ready, and he was willing to listen to the Spirit, be led by the Spirit, be full of the Spirit, and we need to as well, because Jesus comes for us. If we keep reading, this story is rather interesting. I'm just going to give you a teaser so you'll be really prompted to go read it this week, because we want you to spend time in God's Word. Let God speak to you. But what's fascinating here is Jesus shows up and the people are like, wow, you're amazing, for like one verse. For like one verse, they're amazed by Jesus, and then they're confronted by him and the tune changes. See, Jesus is celebrated and then quickly rejected. And isn't that what we do? Let's just be honest. We're so prone to like celebrate and then quickly reject. Like, oh, I like that. No more. You're canceled. Guys, the human heart has been the human heart throughout all time. He is celebrated and then rejected. Verse 22, all spoke well of him and were amazed at the gracious words that came from his lips. Isn't this Joseph's son? They're like, isn't this Joseph's son? Sounds a little bit like, if you're the Son of God. Doubt and deception have their root from the kingdom of darkness, the questioning of his identity, the questioning of who he is. And by verse 28, all the people in the synagogue were furious when they heard this. The good news of Jesus is he comes for us, and the better news is he confronts everything in us that is not of his kingdom, because he wants you whole and healed and free. He doesn't just come for us. Come, I'm going to leave you just as you are. He comes for us and he says, I'm going to love you right where you are, and then I'm going to confront everything in you that is not of me. Because you are created in my image, and you are to bear my image, and walk in the way I walk, and love the way I love, and live the way I live, and I'm going to show you. So come and follow me. Be my disciple. Be my disciple. The people were amazed by him, celebrated him, and then quickly rejected him to the point they wanted to kill him. Go read it. It's in Luke 4. Check it out. Today, I'm not going to focus on those verses. We're going to start a little bit later. Verse 31. Then he went down to Capernaum, a town in Galilee, and on the Sabbath he taught the people. They were amazed at his teaching because his words had authority. In the synagogue, there was a man possessed by a demon, an impure spirit. He cried out at the top of his voice, "Go away, what do you want with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God." "Be quiet," Jesus said sternly, "come out of him." Then the demon threw the man down before them all and came out without injuring him. All the people were amazed and said to each other, "What words these are. With authority and power, he gives orders to the impure spirits and they come out." And the news about him spread throughout the surrounding area. Guys, there is this reality of what we just sang. We speak Jesus. And it's not just to the comfortable places, the neat places, the clean places. We speak it from the mountaintop. We speak it from the street. We speak it in the darkness because this is the intentional faith of Jesus who we follow. If he's casting out demons in the synagogue, guess where else they're going to go? He's got to get into the streets because they're probably there. He's got to get out to the countryside because they're probably there. The intentional faith of Jesus is declaring there is good news where the kingdom of God is displacing the kingdom of darkness. That the kingdom of light is going to war against the kingdom of oppression and Satan and evil. And that is the best news you will hear all year. You can have faith in a God who comes for you, who will confront everything that is not life-giving in you, and then he will come. And he will care for us with the power and authority of himself and his kingdom. And here's what I mean. You might be here today and go, "Hey, Kurt, that's cool, demon being cast out. Maybe a little weird. I'm not quite sure what to do with that. I don't have demons. I'm good." Well, if you're here today and you might, good news, Jesus can deal with it. He'll deal with it directly, specifically, and actually pretty quietly, and you will be free. But let me tell you something I think we all have experienced where we need the care that he gives. At sunset, the people brought to Jesus all who had various kinds of sickness, and laying his hands on each one, he healed them. Moreover, demons came out of many people shouting, "You are the Son of God," but he rebuked them and would not allow them to speak because they knew he was the Messiah. At daybreak, Jesus went out to a solitary place. The people were looking for him, and when they came to where he was, they tried to keep him from leaving them. But he said, let's read this together, "I must proclaim the good news of the kingdom of God to the other towns also, because that is why I was sent." Jesus anchors his purpose and his life and his mission in the care of us. And he knows the care for our souls and our hearts and our minds and our bodies and our spirituality is in the proclamation of good news that comes from him and his kingdom, his authority, his rule, his reign. I must proclaim the good news of the kingdom of God. When you hear the good news and you receive it, you now know your mission. I join Jesus in proclaiming the good news wherever we go. I must proclaim the good news at my workplace. I must proclaim the good news to my friend. I must proclaim the good news at the gym, at the dinner table. I must proclaim the good news. There's so much going on here. I just want to dial into two things that we should not miss because I almost missed them when I read over it. You could probably read Luke 4 in its entirety every day this week and see something new and fresh. You can read it really slow. Just read a couple verses at a day. Don't hurry. But as I was reading through it, here's what I want you to notice. Jesus heals people. Jesus was healing people. Is there anything in your life that just doesn't quite feel right? It doesn't feel heavenly. It doesn't feel whole. It doesn't feel almost like there's this thing that tells you, like, it's just not supposed to be this way. That's where we need healing. That's where we need the perfection of God to come in and do work that we cannot do for ourselves. But don't miss this amazing part of the text. At sunset, the people brought to Jesus. Sometimes the most intentional part of our faith will have nothing to do with our benefit, but for the benefit of others. We cannot be satisfied to know a God who created the heavens and the earth, revealed himself in Jesus to die on a cross, to deal with sin, to deal with death, to give life, and hold that just for ourselves. The people brought others to Jesus. And I think there's an incredible challenge to us if we're following Jesus to ask, who are we bringing to Jesus? How am I bringing people to Jesus? How am I bringing Jesus to people? Because it's there. And I think the other thing we have to get more comfortable with is we need Jesus. So when we come to a gathering like this, when we come into the presence of Jesus, we should give up holding it all together. We should give up acting like I don't need prayer, because we all do. We all need what Jesus has. We all need to find our life in him, which means we need to understand the community of Jesus followers first and foremost are declaring we need God. We are a humble people who find our life in God because we couldn't find it in ourselves. We were left wanting when our identity was work. We were left wanting when our identity was money. We were left wanting when we were trying to solve our own problems, and we were brought to our knees in humility to say, God, I need you. God, I look to you. You're where my help comes from. So bring your sickness. Bring your weakness. Proclaim good news to your soul and to your mind and your anxiety and your oppression, because that is what Jesus is going to do. He's going to proclaim good news to you. And when we bring people with us, we will proclaim good news to them too, because God cares for us. He comes for us, he confronts us, and he cares for us. So let me describe intentional faith. Intentional faith is full of the Spirit and led by the Spirit. Do not miss this for a minute. Jesus, the Son of God, lived, submitted to the Holy Spirit, God in him, filling him, empowering him. You should too. If you want to be like Jesus, just do not miss Luke 4. In Luke 3, he's filled with the Spirit. In Luke 4, it says he's led by the Spirit. He returns in the power of the Spirit. That is intentional faith. Intentional faith is saying, God, fill me with your very Spirit. Intentional faith resists the devil by knowing the Scriptures. If you go back and read Luke 4, there's this interesting exchange. Jesus is being tempted, and his response to every temptation is, it is written. It is written, man should not live by bread alone. It is written. It is written. But then there's this moment where the devil goes, oh, I can play this game. And the devil goes, hey, Jesus, it is written. The devil will take the Scriptures and twist them. He's not humbled to God. He's not yielded to God's authority. He's using them for his own benefit. And then Jesus delivers the punchline, and he goes, it is said. Because the aim of the Scriptures and of God is that you'd learn to hear God's voice. And it wouldn't just be, it is written at a distance, but it is said because I learned to listen to the living God. Intentional faith listens to God in the Bible, listens to God in prayer, and listens to God's voice because he spends time with God. In the early morning, Jesus went out to a solitary place. Jesus was intentional to get quiet before the Father, to anchor his identity as the Son of God, to receive everything God had for him. You and I need that even more than Jesus. Amen? Intentional faith hears and obeys the words of Jesus. Intentional faith does the works of Jesus. Pray for people. Bring people to Jesus. Spread the news. Look, those are all action words. That's what I love about it. It's the action of our faith in Jesus. It's the action of following Jesus. It's like, man, I've received so much prayer. All I know to give away is good news in prayer. Can I pray for you right now? I've received so much prayer, I can give it away. Have you? Bring people to Jesus. You don't have to have the answers. You're not bringing them to you. You're going like, let's go read the Bible together. Let's look to Jesus together. Let's be in church together. I don't know. We'll listen to that Pastor Kurt guy, and then he's going to tell you, I don't know. We're all imperfect. We're figuring it out together. Intentional faith welcomes the kingdom of God to push back the kingdom of darkness. If you are distraught by what's happening in the world, you need to understand Jesus believes in Satan. Do you? Jesus believes there is a kingdom in opposition to heaven. Do you? I want to remind us, it was just this past fall we did a series, God's Kingdom Over My Castle. Listen to Colossians 1 as a reminder. Colossians 1, this is verses 9 through 14. For this reason, since the day we heard about you, we have not stopped praying for you. We continually ask God to fill you with the knowledge of his will through all the wisdom and understanding that the Spirit gives, so that you may live a life worthy of the Lord and please him in every way, bearing fruit in every good work, growing in the knowledge of God, being strengthened with all power according to his glorious might, so that you may have great endurance and patience. This is what faith is. Enduring and waiting on God. Enduring and waiting on God. And giving joyful thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of his holy people in the kingdom of light. For he has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son he loves, in whom we have redemption and the forgiveness of sins. We have to anchor ourselves in the story that Jesus is anchored in. Proclaiming the good news of the kingdom. Proclaiming hope where it's hopeless. Proclaiming light where it's dark. So that we can see reality and we can navigate this world. And it was just our last message series, this missional moment, Matthew 28, 18 through 20. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to obey everything I've commanded. And here it is. And surely I am with you always. Intentional faith lives in a manner that I can make myself available to God always, every day, because God has promised he will be available to me. He will be available to you. He has come for you. Yes, he will confront us, but that's the good news. There are things in this life and in this world that need to be confronted. Amen? And man, may we have the humility to recognize some of that stuff happens to be in me. I want to show you a slide that has qualities of a disciple. What does it mean to be a disciple? It's a word, it's a church word. A disciple is someone who is following someone else. A synonym for disciple would be apprentice. You're learning to live the life they live. We talk about following Jesus together. What I love about this list, beyond the fact that I came up with it, so I must think it's pretty good, is nothing on this list should feel new or earth-shattering. And in fact, I'm actually going to do a real quick work of Luke 4 to close to say, I see all of this in Jesus. Depend on God. The first movement of a disciple is, God, I need you. I need you. I have to humble myself to God. Jesus humbled himself and came to earth in the form of a servant. He humbled himself to baptism. He humbled himself to the work of the Spirit. He humbled himself to the Scriptures. He humbled himself in prayer to the Father. He humbled himself on a cross into the tomb. Jesus depended on the Father and the Spirit. We must too. Humble surrender. Depend on God, and then our entire life becomes humble surrender. Jesus came to declare the good news of God's kingdom. Everything he did was so that you and I might live. He said, I only do what I see my Father doing. Humble surrender. Biblical. We obey the commands of Jesus. Jesus knew the Scriptures, and it says he fulfilled them. All of the law he fulfilled. He valued the way God had revealed himself and the way of his kingdom through the Scriptures. But it wasn't just that he knew the Bible. He knew the source and the voice of God so that he could say it is written, and he could also say it is said. May this be true of us too. Fruitful. We embrace a life full of the Holy Spirit. Jesus knew his purpose and was led and empowered by the Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit was the reality of his life. Is it yours? Are you letting the Spirit fill you and empower you and lead you as much as Jesus does? It was missional. He came to make more and better disciples. He came to fill heaven with a community of people that he loves. And it turns out his desire is for all to be saved. For all to be saved. Do we have a similar mission and heartbeat and desire? And faithful. Absolutely faithful. Am I abiding in Jesus so that I can then just rinse and repeat? If I'm faithful, we're transformed by abiding in Jesus. We come back to depend on God. Humble surrender. To know the Scriptures. To live in the mission of God. To bear the fruit of his kingdom. Do you see how this just goes and it goes and it goes, and we never say we're done, because this is about daily intentional faith. Following Jesus today, because this is the day the Lord has made. This is the day we have. This is the opportunity to let God all the way in. Will you? No matter how far you are on your journey, God has more for you this year. And my guess is it's not just about you, but there are people around you that God loves and wants to reach for through your intentional faith. So I want to close with two thoughts. How can you act on what you know today? That's actually the punchline. How can you act on what you know today? How can we as a community leave here and take a step of action into the reality of God's life and his love and his redemption and his salvation? How can we do that? One is, make a decision about your need for God. Do you need God? And if you're here today and this is the first time you are coming all the way to that decision moment, today is the day of salvation, you can just say, Jesus, I need you. I need you. That's how it all starts. And you get baptized. Jesus was baptized in Luke 3. We get baptized also. You turn from your independent, individualistic, prideful life, and you humble yourself and you say, God, I need you. Welcome to the family. Everybody in the family of God has said that and lives in that posture. The other thing is, you might be here today and you've already made a decision to follow Jesus. You are a Christian. You are a person of faith. You would say, I am under the authority of Jesus. Then I think there is intentional action with your faith this year. There is always more obedience. There is always more surrender. So that could be prayer, solitary time with God. That could be time in the Bible, reading God's words, going from it is written to it is said, because you're learning the voice of God. Demonstrate your faith the way Jesus did. Pray for the sick. Invite others to come to Jesus. Push back against the darkness. And dare I say, for all of us, we need to step up and step out of our comfort zone. Step up and step out of our comfort zone. You all look very comfortable right now in these comfortable chairs, so I'm going to ask you to stand. That is how we move. We listen to God say, I want you to stand, and then you stand. We listen to God say, I want you to step, and we step. We listen to God whisper things into our life about our calendar and our free time, about our family time, about our meal time, about our work time, about our private time. We listen to God whisper in the solitary, quiet places about our sense of comfort and control, about anxiety and depression, about fear and worry. Every one of you just practiced what it looks like to follow Jesus. And trust me, Jesus is way better than me asking you to stand. But he will confront you. But he will call you into something better. And so, God, we make ourselves available to you. We just say, come, Holy Spirit, would you even right now just begin to give insight and wisdom, give step and direction. What is the action for tomorrow? What is the action for this afternoon? How can we be full of your Spirit and led by your Spirit and comforted by your Spirit and empowered by your Spirit to be a people of intentional faith? Make it real, Jesus. Make it plain to us this year, Jesus. Some of you, your step is actually a step of baptism. You've never done that before. It's worth it. Some of you need to spend time in the Bible this year. Take time. Some of you need to be free to receive prayer where you're hurting and you need healing. I'm going to invite our prayer ministry teams to come and be available. And this is the simple thing. If you're making a step of faith today, come, let them pray blessing on it. If you're here today and you are hurting, let them come and pray for God's favor to come and comfort. I wrote this three-sentence phrase I'm going to close us out with today. So this is something I've learned to do. It's just taking a posture of receiving God. I just open my hands, whatever you want to do. If you want to receive more of God in your life today, let him know. One of the ways I let him know is I just go, God, I'm willing. I'm open. In the life of Jesus, we see this. God is for us. Jesus comes to be with us, and the Holy Spirit comes to dwell in us. So my prayer for you this week is you would see God for you, you would see Jesus with you, and you would awaken more to the Holy Spirit in you. And so God, would you call us step by step, moment by moment, into the intentional faith we see in Jesus in Luke 4, that our lives would be changed, we'd begin to bring people to you. Do this work in us. We need you, God. We look to you, and it's in your precious name we pray to close our time together. Amen. I want you to linger, take time to listen. Right